When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
3, 2, 1.
When I'm working out, I love to listen to your podcast.
Whenever you say something, other people react to it.
Taking my breath away, Aaron.
Welcome in, everybody.
Vern Lundquist joins Wednesday Hall night of Famer. Of the
Jim Calhoun, NASCAR
today,
icon, Dale Earnhardt Jr. Kirk Herbstreit is on the phone.
We are going live here because it may be May 1st. Some people may sleep in May, but the news keeps coming. I can't believe I tripped over my own words there. The news keeps coming, and we had to go live. I think tonight will be a little bit of a quicker show, a faster show, get directly to the point, get out of here, and we will have our normal Thursday night, Friday afternoon show tomorrow. So today, why are we live? Well, it is because right after we went off air last night, John L. Davis, the number one player, in my opinion, in the transfer portal, he committed to Arkansas, and so we were going to do some sort of reaction today. And then early on Wednesday, Kobe Brea, best shooter in the portal, commits to Kentucky. Kirk Creasa, out of nowhere, commits to Kentucky as well, and I just said, you know what? We got three big commitments. This roster building season is starting to come to an end. Let's just go ahead and go live really quickly. I don't know how many more big breaking day, you know, kind of news days we're going to have like this. So just felt like a good day to go live. As I said, a little bit of a shorter show. And oh, by the way, we'll still do our normal Thursday night, Friday show. Before we get started, a couple quick announcements. First of all, if you have ordered Hope and Pope t-shirts, if you have ordered Big Pig Invasion t-shirts, good news. My t-shirt guy finally got back to me. I am going to pick them up tonight. They will be in the mail tomorrow or Friday by end of week, no doubt. So make sure if you order, just keep an eye on your email. You will get email confirmation. You will get tracking information, all of that. I appreciate your patience. Oh, by the way, we'll give you information on how you can get yours if you have not already, but the t-shirts are finally ready. They will go out today. I appreciate everybody's patience on that. And then, oh, by the way, the only other announcement we really have at this exact moment, if you're not subscribed to the show, please make sure to do so. YouTube, we are closing in. We're inching towards 40,000 subscribers, which I cannot thank you all enough for. I set it to end Tuesday night's show, but April was a record-setting month. Cannot thank you all enough for your support, for your interest in what we do. We're going to keep going strong. We're going to keep going live. We're going to keep reacting to all the big news in college basketball over the next couple months. And obviously, as we get into June and July, transition to football. But my, oh my, oh my. Cannot thank you all enough for your support. As I said, we are closing in on 40,000 subscribers. With that said, there is no more time to waste. It's a Wednesday evening. You got things to do. I got things to do. We weren't planning on going live, but let's go ahead and get to the topic of the day. So the topic of the day, listen, Tuesday night show, we hit on so many different things, right? We hit on UConn going, you know, trying to go back to back to back like Tom Emanski's AAU national championship team. We talked about, you know, two commitments for Kentucky. We talked about Jonas Adu at Arkansas. We covered so much ground, only for news to keep coming on Wednesday that I felt like we had to react to. And so let's start with Kentucky because, you know, Mark Pope, he's basically running Noah's Ark at this point, right? Every time we come on air, there are two new commitments to react to. A few days ago, it was Lamont Butler and Otega Owa. On Tuesday night, it was Andrew Carr and also Brandon Garrison. And on Wednesday, we got two different commitments as Kobe Brea, the sharpshooter from Dayton, he commits. And then in the stunner of all stunners, Kirk Creasa commits as well. Let's start with Kobe Brea. First of all, if you're watching, you know the background on this kid. He is a special player. He is a talented player. And he does one thing quite literally
better than anybody in the portal, and frankly, pretty much anybody better than anyone in college basketball. That is that he shoots the lights out of the ball. Played at Dayton. He is going into his fifth year. Shot 49.8% from three. And as I've said a couple times on this show, it's not like he took 24 attempts on the season. This guy shot over 200 threes, 49.8%, the highest three-point percentage in all of college basketball for people that qualified. Now, there were some guys that just didn't get enough shots up, like a Reed Shepherd, to qualify. But Kobe Brea, the best player at the shooting position, not really a shooting guard, but certainly the best shooter in the portal, he ends up at Kentucky. Now, why I like this, first of all, fascinating recruitment and interesting recruitment. And I'll be blunt. I think if you followed the recruitment closely, probably not totally shocking. Okay. At the end of the day, when you talk about this recruitment, this was the kid that came out with the all-time probably craziest top five that I have ever seen. He got down a few weeks ago to Kentucky, UConn, Kansas, North Carolina, and also Duke. So maybe the craziest top five that I've ever seen. But beyond that, as time started going on, there started to kind of not be a lot of great options for him. North Carolina has RJ Davis come back. Kansas has Rylan Griffin come back. UConn takes Aiden Mahaney's commitment. And so I just bring it up to very simply say that as time went on, everything started trending to Kentucky. And in the end, this kid ends up a Kentucky Wildcat. And what a get that he is. And I think, frankly, an important get as well. Why do I think he was an important get? The reason is pretty simple, and I think most people listening that care about Kentucky basketball probably know the answer. The bottom line is, look, I love what Mark Pope and his staff – by the way, let's take a moment. I've been giving so much credit to Mark Pope on social media, and I think a lot of people have. But let's give credit to that staff. Cody Feger, Jason Hart, Alvin Brooks III are putting in work, okay? So credit to Mark Pope, credit to his staff. But why I like this commitment, and frankly, why I think this commitment is so important, it's pretty straightforward. It is because Kobe Brea fills a very important need for Kentucky and really a spot of need with his ability to put the ball in the basket. When you look at the guys that Kentucky has taken so far this portal cycle since Mark Pope took over, okay? So you had Amari Williams, elite defensive rim protector, not real. He's a scorer, but it's all within 5 feet of the basket. You have Lamont Butler, who I believe is going to be a better scorer than people realize. But Lamont Butler is not a guy that even wants to score 20 points a game. He wants to, in a perfect world, get 14 to 15, get five and a half assists, get his teammates involved, play lockdown defense, whatever. So you have two great defenders, one of which I think is a little bit more capable offensively. But Otega Owa, good scorer. I wouldn't call him an elite bucket getter. Brandon Garrison, the player who committed on Tuesday, I would not call an elite offensive player. I think he may get there someday, but he's certainly not there yet. And so I just bring it up because outside of Andrew Carr, who I do think is a better scorer than people realize, you just don't probably have enough scoring at this point, and that is what Kobe Brea brings. 11 points per game, 49.8% three-point shooting. But in this system, he is going to get buckets, and he is going to score consistently. By the way, worth noting, some of his biggest games for Kobe Brea, because I see this a lot. Well, can he do it in the SEC? Well, first of all, let's just put my opinion aside. If Duke thinks you're good enough and Kansas thinks you're good enough and Carolina thinks you're good enough and UConn thinks you're good enough, I don't know what else to tell you other than you're good enough. But two, I just think that this guy was needed for offensive reasons. And just really, I just think he is a guy that is going to bring so much to Kentucky and be able to step in right away and do it. As I said, fifth-year guy, some of his best games were against Dayton's best competition this past season, a guy that on the season had 15 points in the NCAA tournament against Nevada, 14 points in the NCAA tournament second-round game against Arizona, had several other big games against the best competition. Worth noting, down the stretch, had 21 at St. Louis, 18 against VCU. So really played his best basketball late. Kobe Brea comes in, and I think he is a day one starter. You are going to need scoring pop. Listen, it's great. Basketball is a two end of the court sport. Nobody knows that better than Kentucky fans. But as good as Lamont Butler is, as good as Amari Williams is, you need scoring pop. You need it right away. You need it from a guy that hit 50% of his threes. And so I expect Kobe Brea to be an instant impact guy. Going to talk about what he means in the bigger picture and this team in the bigger picture. But before we get to it, we got to get to the other big piece of news from Wednesday morning that I guess it was Wednesday afternoon in Kentucky that I don't think anyone saw coming. And that was the commitment of Kirk Crease. Okay. So, you know, we all follow this portal stuff and we all know, you know, like whatever that Jonas Adu is leaning towards Arkansas. John L. Davis is leaning towards Arkansas. Kobe Brea is leaning towards Kentucky. Amari Williams is leaning towards Kentucky. Whatever. Fill in the blank. Ryland Griffin's going to go to Kansas eventually, et cetera, et cetera. What I can say is that maybe somebody saw Kirk Crease coming. Maybe somebody called it out. Maybe somebody had this before everybody else did. I am here to tell you, I did not see this coming. I did not. I don't know anyone who saw this coming. And you just talk about a surprise commitment, a little similar to Brandon Garrison, although I think this one is even a little bit more extreme. But credit Kentucky for getting this one done. At least as I can tell, under the cloak of darkness, nobody saw it coming. So what are you going to get from Kirk Crease? Because to me, this is the interesting conversation. Well, I think it's interesting because you already have a point guard in Lamont Butler on your roster, okay? And I know what a lot of people are going to say. You know, Lamont Butler's not a point guard. Da, 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 da. He's better off the ball. He's a defensive player. He can't score. All I can tell you is what I know is he was recruited to be the starting point guard of the University of Kentucky, okay? And so when I look at Kirk Crease, this was a guy, fascinating story, by the way, began his career at Arizona, was actually recruited by Sean Miller. His first year, there was some weird NCAA stuff. This was back in the day when the NCAA used to have like a very little bit of power, but there was some weird NCAA stuff with Kirk Crease's freshman year. Sophomore year was really a breakout year under Tommy Lloyd. That first year, they win the Pac-12. They get the number one seed in the NCAA tournament. They end up losing to Houston in the Sweet 16, but he was a really good player. Now, his junior year at Arizona, he struggled, ends up transferring this past year, and probably had maybe his best season, but it wasn't for a very good team. 11 points, 5 assists, 42% three-point shooting. Now, why this is interesting is for a few different reasons. The first one, nobody saw it coming, as I said. Two, you already have a kid who's committed to play point guard, and I still believe Lamont Butler's the guy. Again, you don't have Lamont Butler end up in the portal on Wednesday night and commit on Friday midday after the entire staff flies across country if they have not prioritized you. And so I guess when I look at Kirk Crease, one of two things is what I see here. One, I do think it's insurance. Lamont Butler is testing the NBA draft waters. So who's to say, you know, there's a possibility. I don't think it's high, but I guess there's a possibility that he never comes to Kentucky. But two, I think you're bringing in Kirk Crease as a backup. And to me, I actually think that might be his best role. And I'm curious if that is how it was sold to him as a backup by the Kentucky coaching staff. This is a guy, listen, Kirk Crease, very good college basketball player, but he's not an NBA player. And so I wonder if the coaching staff said, hey, first of all, we're going to take care of you financially. That's one. But two, your future in the pros is probably overseas, maybe as a sixth man. Come here and learn how to play a role and play a very important role. Now, I would add, if he's coming off the bench, I actually think that's the best version of him because he's not a great defender. I know the three-point shot looked good this year, but he hasn't been a consistent three-point shooter all career. And so really what I think this probably says is you get him in a 12 to 15 minute role, I think he can be very good for you. He can go up and down, can get buckets, can get others involved. He's a very good passer, a very emotional player. That's the other thing, Kentucky fans, if you have not watched him, he'll chirp. He'll get in people's faces. Now, I think it was maybe Drew Franklin, one of the KSR guys, put out the tweet of when he was kind of jawing with Luka Doncic in one of those European tournaments, one of the I guess it would have been maybe even like Olympic qualifying or something. But when you're going up to Luka Doncic and you're getting his face, you fear no one. And I think that's probably the best version of him. Like I said, 12 to 15 minutes, probably put up a lot of assists, run the offense, get buckets. You don't really have to be a defensive stopper. And I think that works for Kentucky as long as that's the role. I think if you're playing him 37 minutes, that becomes a problem. I think I don't think that's the best version of him. I don't think that's the best version of Kentucky. And so I will be interested to see how all the pieces come together. Lastly on Kentucky, by the way, make sure to drop your questions into the chat. We will get to them later. But with Kirk Kurisa, I could be wrong, but I think outside of Jackson Robinson, the kid who could transfer from BYU and follow Mark Pope, I would think at this point, probably relatively done, in my opinion, I would think with big names in the portal, right? You now have nine players. You now have nine players on this Kentucky roster, okay? You have, obviously, Travis Perry's a freshman. I think he'll be limited a little bit this year. Colin Chandler, the first player to commit coming off of a Mormon mission. I think it's fair to say that probably realistically, this guy's going to need time to figure things out. So I don't think he's going to play 27 minutes a game. But you, even with those two other, even without those two guys, you now have seven guys that are coming and expect to play big minutes. You have, in my opinion, I think a starting five that looks something like this. I think you probably have Lamont Butler at the one. I do think you probably play Otega Owa and Kobe Brea in the backcourt with them. Both versatile, both can attack the rim, both can hit threes at a very high level. Andrew Carr at the four and Amari Williams at the five. I think that's a very good combination of bookend defensive players, Amari Williams in the paint, Lamont Butler on the perimeter, and some nice scoring with Andrew Carr, Kobe Brea, etc. Where it gets especially interesting is that now you have your primary defensive or your primary backup big in Brandon Garrison, former McDonald's All-American. That's not bad. As I've said a couple times, he just finished his freshman year. He's a project. Give him another year or two. You know, this is a guy that could serve as a backup next year for Amari Williams and then be a key contributor in 2025, 2026. Also, I think Kirk Kurisa is probably your primary backup guard. Again, 15, 18, 20 minutes, get buckets, get out on the fast break, hit open trailers, whatever. And I think you all of a sudden have a very, very, very interesting team. Like I said, I don't think at this point, outside of Jackson Robinson, who did play for Mark Pope, I don't think you're going to see super marquee players because there's just not a lot of spots to go around. Now, maybe a TJ Bamba from Villanova, you know, he would play that sixth, seventh man type role, that secondary guard, although I think he could be a starter. He's a really good player. Maybe Wuga Poplar, who, of course, played at Miami. But to me, that means you're done. Two quick additional thoughts before we take a quick break, come back and talk John L. Davis. The first one, a couple things stand out. One, Kentucky fans, you have been telling me, and you have been telling anyone who will listen for years that you want to get older in college basketball. And after everything that's happened the last couple of years, I can't blame you. This past year, you have Reed Shepard, you have Rob Dillingham. They don't show up in the tournament, whatever. Well, I bring it up because people, you certainly got your wish, okay? Let's look at this Kentucky roster really quick before we take a break here. Lamont Butler, fifth-year senior. Amari Williams, fifth-year senior. Andrew Carr, fifth-year senior. Kobe Brea, fifth-year senior. Kirk Kurisa, fifth-year senior. Colin Chandler, by the way, a 21-year-old freshman who will be obviously 3 years removed from high school when he gets back from his mission trip this spring. So, Kentucky fans, you wanted to get old. You are old. As a matter of fact, you'll be one of the oldest teams in college basketball. And I'll say selfishly from my perspective, this is kind of good because I know you're going to have scholarships to fill next spring when the portal opens again. Now, I think Mark Pope's going to probably sign three-ish high school players, probably 1 to 2 elite type players and then 1 to 2 developmental type players. So it won't be 13 open scholarships like it was this year. But again, selfishly, it's very clear that Kentucky will be an active team in the portal going forward. The other thing, let's go ahead and just give Mark Pope and his staff, as I just said, a little bit of credit. Because again, what was the talking point? What was the sentiment around this guy and this hire when it happened? I still remember. I remember I didn't go live the night that Mark Pope got hired. I'm glad that I didn't. We had just finished a live show when he got hired, and it was chaos on the social media streets, okay? But I bring it up because one of the big complaints, and credit Kentucky fans, everybody calm down. After about 12 hours, you watch some BYU film, you get to learn a little bit about it. But the big question was, can he recruit at this level? Now, to me, obviously, look, you still need elite talent. You still need elite freshmen. I don't think you go with 4 or 5 like you have in the past, but I do think 1 or 2 every year, ideally, is going to be a factor going forward. So we'll see if Mark Pope can close on those guys. Now, my hunch is with the history of Jason Hart and Alvin Brooks III, you're going to be okay. But it just cracks me up because what was the big thing? Well, can he recruit at this level? And it's like, I know what everyone's going to say. Well, they're mid-major guys. They're this, they're that. Let's just take a step back and talk this through, okay? You look at the guys on this roster. Amari Williams, everybody wanted this guy. Chose Kentucky and Mark Pope over Rick Pitino and St. John's. If Rick Pitino wants you, you're pretty good. Lamont Butler, Duke wanted him. Washington and that new coaching staff wanted him. Several Big 12 schools wanted him. I can tell you, there are 2 really good Big 12 schools that were hot after Lamont Butler, and basically they ran out of they didn't have enough scholarships. They were hoping he'd enter the portal. He didn't enter the portal, and I'm just bringing it up because there were some big-time programs that were hoping he'd get in, and they filled their spots before he even got in the portal. Kobe Brea, wanted by North Carolina, wanted by Duke, wanted by Kansas, wanted by UConn. So credit to Mark Pope. Everyone told me, oh, this guy can't recruit. He stinks. He can't recruit. Well, I said, listen, BYU's a different beast. I think I said it on that first show with Pope when he was hired. I said, listen, I don't think there's a school in America that has a smaller pool of guys that you can actually recruit and that actually want to come play for you than BYU. It's no disrespect, but we know about the religious aspect. We know how hard it is, what the honor code is like, what it limits you from doing. And so I said, like, there's just not a lot of guys that want to sacrifice that at 18 years old going into college. I know that I would not have. And so credit Mark Pope, man. In about 3 weeks, he has proven that he can recruit at the highest level. Everybody drop in your questions. We're going to come back. We're going to answer some questions. But we are also going to hit on the other big news of the last 24 hours. Jonnell Davis, arguably the best player in the transfer portal, is he's headed to Fayetteville. We're going to take a quick break, talk Jonnell Davis, drop in your questions. We will be right back. Before we do, many of you ask me all the time, Torres, what can I do to help support the show? You give me hours and hours and hours of content every single week. What can I do to help you? Well, I'll tell you what. Do me a quick favor. Check out the Aaron Torres Media merchandise store for all of your team-specific shirts, hats, and more, all available at AaronTorresOnline.com/merchandise. A lot of you wondering, Torres, what can I get in that merch store? Well, first of all, we got our brand new Hope and Pope Kentucky basketball t-shirts. That's right. Mark Pope has arrived. He is here to save the day. Get your Hope and Pope t-shirts there. Also, Arkansas fans, the Big Pig Invasion is here. You can get your tees there. Basketball School Alabama shirts. Mora Hurley 2024 UConn shirts for your tailgates at Rentschler Field, your games at the XL Center or Gamble. And oh, by the way, your Mike Effin Woodson gear for Indiana. If you love football, we got you covered too. We got more Deion shirts and hats than we even know what to do with. The freeze warning has hit the plains. Auburn fans, grab your freeze warning tees now. And of course, our new era, new rule shirt applies to Nebraska football and its incredible fan base. We have more coming for the fall, plenty in stock right now. So make sure to check out the Aaron Torres Media merch store at aarontorresonline.com/merchandise. And you can always hit me up with any questions. aarontorrespodcastquestions@gmail.com. All right, everybody. I'm back. Going to be back. First of all, if you missed the announcement to start the show, we'll be picking up our t-shirts today. So if you ordered the Hope and Pope, if you ordered the Big Pig Invasion shirt, they will be in the mail by the end of this week. Appreciate everybody's patience. And once they go in the mail, you will get a confirmation email with all the details. So, t-shirts are good. But that's it. Do want to switch gears. And do want to talk about the other big news that has popped in college hoops since about 8 p.m. Eastern, probably on Tuesday night. That is because we have a little bit of a new tradition here on the Aaron Torres Pod and Aaron Torres Pod YouTube. By the way, make sure to also drop your comments below. But we have a new tradition here on the show, and that is this. It is the second that we put away our equipment for the night and call it a night after going live. Something big happens in Fayetteville. Okay, Monday night, running errands, had recorded some stuff, had it up on YouTube. Boom. Jonas Adu is an Arkansas Razorback. Tuesday night, we do a full live show. John L. Davis, everybody knows it's coming. I was told it wasn't going to be announced until Wednesday. Not going to criticize another media member, but Jeff could maybe jump the gun a little bit with his breaking John L. Davis expected. You know, expected isn't really a report, neither here nor there. I like Jeff, whatever. Bring it up because the second I put down the equipment for the night, John L. Davis officially becomes an Arkansas Razorback. Want to go ahead and talk about it, but the good news, Arkansas, is this. Every night, put down the equipment, something big happens for your team. So who knows? Maybe DJ Wagner comes tonight. Maybe somebody else comes tonight. Maybe somebody flips to Arkansas. I don't know, but there's got to be good news coming because we're about to be done here from this show in a little bit. Let's get into it, though. Let's talk about it. And this is big, okay? As a matter of fact, I think I understood. I was just like, oh, yeah, by the way, John L. Davis committed on Tuesday night. Let me step back. Deep breath, and restate this. On Tuesday night, Arkansas got a commitment from the best player in the transfer portal as John L. Davis, 6'4" guard, Florida Atlantic University commits to the Arkansas Razorbacks. So I undersold it before, but I don't want to undersell it now. So let's talk about John L. Davis, and most importantly, let's talk about what it means for the Hawks. So with John L. Davis, first of all, I said this, I think he is as good of a player as anybody who has entered the transfer portal this offseason. You can debate me. We can argue. If you want to say it's AJ Store, I think I had AJ Store ranked ahead of him for a time. Coleman Hawkins is now in. But I mean, he is in the short conversation. And the funny thing about the portal, the number of guys who are actual difference makers, I think is few and far between. I think there's, you know, 5 to 7 this year. I think Kadari Richmond is one, uncommitted as we record right now. I think that, you know, Coleman Hawkins would be, AJ Store is, but most of these guys are role players, you know, fill in spots, whatever. John L. Davis is a difference maker in every way, shape, or form. So this year averaged 18 points per game, 6 boards, shot 41% from three. Obviously was a player who helped Florida Atlantic to a Final Four berth 2 seasons ago. But I think what stands out is I think there are games where there are guys that put up big stats in bad leagues and you sit there and say, okay, well, how good are they really? John L. Davis was as good as any guard in college basketball this year. And I think really good in the biggest games of the season. College of Charleston, a team that made the NCAA tournament. He had 24 points, played Illinois. He had 19 points, 7 of 12 shooting from the field, super efficient. Arizona has like 7 guys that are going to play in the NBA. He had 35 points. He was the best player on the floor. He had 30 points against UAB, an NCAA tournament team. He had 28 points against North Texas, 24 points against Tulsa, 20 points against South Florida, 20 points against Memphis, 29 points against North Texas. Oh, by the way, in the conference tournament, 18 points, 19 points in the NCAA tournament, lost to Northwestern, 18 points. So he has done it on the biggest stages. the best moments in college basketball. But two, on top of that, and this is where I think it's important, is that on top of it, is that he is a guy that I just think fits in with everything you want to do. He is a guy that can play on the ball. He is a guy that can play off the ball. He is a guy that gets others involved. He is a guy that is obviously a great teammate. There's just so much to like about this kid. And if you're an Arkansas Razorbacks fan, you just have to be excited. And I think, in my opinion, you should be excited for a couple different reasons. First off, he brings a veteran toughness to this locker room, okay? And Arkansas fans, you don't need me to tell you. Because every time John Calipari does something good, what is the knock on Calipari? Oh, well, I mean, it doesn't matter because he's going to blow it in. And what was the knock even coming in? Oh, he's just going to bring all his freshmen and they're going to stink. And it's like, well, that's not what's happening at all. And I will say, and we've talked about this a lot, but I think Calipari, the break from Kentucky was the best thing for Kentucky. Also think it was the best thing for Calipari. Start over. You don't only have to be the one and done guy. Now you have the cachet of having coached Jamal Murray and Anthony Davis and Devin Booker and Tyrese Maxey and John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins, Derrick Rose, even back to the Memphis days. But you can also be the guy now. You can still recruit the best of the best in high school, but you don't have to take 6-7 freshmen every year. And instead, you can take the guys you want and surround them with high-level veteran players. I think that's a mistake Calipari has made in the past. It's something that he said, even had he stayed at Kentucky, he was going to fix. And by the way, I'm just going to say, and if I get crushed by Kentucky fans, I don't care. So a lot of what happened over the last couple off seasons is on Calipari, no doubt. But I also know for a fact that he went pretty hard after some of these portal guys the last couple years, specifically last year. And the school, frankly, just at that point, did not have the financial resources to compete for the best players in the portal. That's not my opinion. That's a fact. Now, is some of it booster stuff? They didn't want to give money to Calipari? Maybe. But also, Mitch Barnhart, the AD, was behind the eight ball on NIL. That's why Kentucky announced a collective the day of the NCAA tournament. It's why when they brought in Mark Pope, it was such a priority. John Calipari was going into those meetings last year, and he was behind the eight ball. He just didn't have the money needed to compete for the best transfer players. Well, now he does, and look at what happened. Jonell Davis, Jonas Adu, two guys that are going to come in, and this is so important for this Arkansas locker room because all these freshmen, they're all good. Boogie Flan's an NBA player. Carter Knox is an NBA player. Billy Richmond, I think, can get there. But at the same time, all these freshmen, it doesn't matter how good they are, they need older guys around them to kind of show them the way, to kind of show them the ropes. I don't care how good the freshman is. Every freshman comes into college basketball thinking they're better than they are. And every freshman, there is an adjustment period, and every freshman needs those veterans. You go back to last year at Kentucky. Everybody wants to talk about Reed Sheppard, Rob Dillingham. Kentucky's best player from day one to the final game of the season, quite literally, was Antonio Reeves. Tony Reeves was basically the only one that came to play in the NCAA tournament, him and Trey Mitchell. And so I just bring it up because you need these veterans in that locker room. You need a Jonell Davis. You need a Jonas Adu. And on top of that, it's not just that you need veterans. You need veterans that can look those freshmen in the eye and know that they are every bit as good. It's one thing to have an older dude that's the ninth guy on the bench. Younger players aren't going to listen to him. They're going to be like, we're better than you. We don't need to listen to you. But a Jonell Davis who is as good as anybody in that locker room, who has as much talent as anybody in that locker room, they will listen to him. They will respect him. That's why it's important. But why I also think it's important is he can play with so many different types of players. He can be your lead guard if you need him to be. I think it's best if he plays off the ball. Does that mean that Boogie Flan handles the ball sometimes? Maybe. Does it mean that you bring in another guard like DJ Wagner, let him run the offense, play Jonell Davis off the ball, but then he also, when DJ Wagner needs a rest or gets in foul trouble, you put Jonell Davis on the ball? To me, that's what makes him so valuable. He's really good. He's also a veteran, and he is, more importantly, a guy that you could pretty much play with anybody. And so as I look at this situation, two things stand out. One, let's go ahead and give John Calipari some credit, because everybody said he's not going to adjust to the portal. What is all the knocks on him? Oh, he doesn't win in March. It's like, okay, well, he was great in the regular season. Needs to be better in March. John Calipari himself would tell you that. But what was the other? Oh, he's not even going to try to recruit these upperclassmen. Well, in 2 days, in a 13-hour period, he just got two of the best upperclassmen transfer portal players available. Gets Jonas Adu, gets Jonnell Martin. And so, Jonnell Davis. I always get Elijah Martin and Jonnell Davis confused. I don't know why I always trip up those names. Jonnell Davis gets Jonnell Davis and Jonas Adu. Two, and this is the important part to me as well, is that one, let's credit Calipari, respect how he went out and has been aggressive in the portal. And two, I would say the framework of this roster is in really good shape. You need bodies. You need role players. But it's not like you're scrambling. And by the way, you know, most schools aren't at this point. But you're not scrambling to find impact players. Jonnell Martin, Jonnell Davis. Jonnell Davis is an impact player. I don't know why I keep saying Jonnell Martin. Jonnell Davis is an impact player. Jonas Adu is an impact player. Boogie Fland is an impact player. Carter Knox is an impact player. So now what do you need behind him? Do think you probably need another big. I've been on the record saying I do think you can play Big Z and Jonas Adu together. I don't think that's a perfect pairing. So I think you probably want a more traditional four. You know, Norchad Omir is still available from Miami. Really good player. Maybe that's a guy you go after. I know St. John's feels like they're in pretty good shape with him. I think you go after another playmaker with the ball, a ball handler like a DJ Wagner. That way, Jonnell Davis, not Jonnell Martin, Jonnell Davis doesn't have to play on the ball all the time. I don't think you want him in a position where he's got to run the offense, set other people up, and set himself up. So, to me, you probably want another ball handler, a four, and then you just fill out with depth pieces, right? I mean, we just talked about this with Kentucky. Kentucky has nine guys on scholarship. I think they take maybe one more impact player, and then it's really just about filling out with depth. Well, with Arkansas, to me, it's kind of the same. You have, right now, six really good players, the three transfers, if you include Big Z, and then also the three freshmen who are really good as well. So you add maybe a DJ Wagner, that's seven, maybe a shooter, that's eight, another big, that's nine. All of a sudden, you're good to go. Now you want, you know, probably two to three more scholarship players after that, because you got to be able to play 5-on-5 in practice. But I love this, and I love it because Jonnell Davis is not only really good, but also because he is so versatile in how you can use him. And I also give John Calipari so much credit. We all heard he couldn't recruit the high-level transfers. Calipari proven everybody wrong. All right, let's see what kind of questions that we have. Producer Matt, let's pop up any questions that we have. We'll make today's show a little bit of a shorter show, even though we're like 38 minutes in today. Any questions? Let's get to some questions. Catching up on my water. For the producer, do you know if Arkansas is recruiting a true point guard from the transfer portal? That's from Richie. I think they should be. I know Jonnell Davis, not Jonnell Martin, who's a made-up person in my head. I know Jonnell Davis can handle the ball. I don't think that is the best position for him. What I'm also curious about from the Arkansas perspective is what the offense is going to look like. Calipari's offensive guy, John Welsh, is not coming with him to Arkansas. By the way, it's worth noting, we did get news officially. Chin Coleman and Chuck Martin, two assistant coaches from Kentucky, were officially announced by the Arkansas administration on Wednesday night. That's not surprising. Chin Coleman has been John Calipari's right-hand man every step of the way since he got to Arkansas, so that's not surprising. Neither is it with Chuck Martin. So yeah, I think you need a more traditional point guard. I actually think DJ Wagner would play very well together with Jonnell Martin. You'd be a little bit small in the backcourt. Boogie Fland, by the way, you'd be a little bit small in the backcourt. But listen, you got two erasers at the rim in Jonas Adu and Big Z. Doesn't hurt as much, but great question from Richie. Yes, I do think Arkansas is probably going to go after one more big. Davis have a chance to go in pro? I think that's a great question by Derek Brown. So Derek Brown asked, does Jonnell Davis have a chance to go pro? So first off, The answer is yes. And I think that's something, and I include myself in this. I think we all have to be conscious of that as we talk about all these teams. We're excited about all these teams, but it's under the assumption that these guys are going to come back. Now, what I will say, I don't think most of these guys would be taking visits and committing if they weren't probably leaning towards coming back. I'll give you an example. Coleman Hawkins, player from Illinois, enters the transfer portal on Tuesday night. He, you know, I don't expect him to take any visits until the NBA draft process is over. Grant Nelson last year, who played at Alabama or who played at North Dakota State, didn't even take visits, didn't even start a recruitment until the NBA draft process was over. He basically said, like, dude, I'm not going to go through the whole song and dance, commit, get the graphic made, whatever, if I'm not playing college basketball. So the fact that John L. Davis has committed to Arkansas, the fact that Amari Williams has committed to Kentucky while being part of the NBA draft process, you know, Lamont Butler, obviously the same. My assumption is those guys are probably coming back to college. But John L. Davis, listen, I do think there is a world where if he crushes in workouts and he feels like he's comfortable with his pick, then we'll see what happens. And there's possibility he could go pro. The other thing to consider, this is the NIL world now. And Jeff Goodman put out a report that he believes the number is around $1 million. That's a one with six zeros behind it. And if that's the case, that's a lot of money. That's more money than he will make as a professional as a second round pick next year. And oh, by the way, I think the Arkansas system is going to put him in position to succeed. So to answer your question, yes, there is a possibility. No, I do not believe it will happen. For the producer from Casey, tells me I'm the baddest MF-er. Here, Casey says, I don't think recruiting is going to be an issue because of the coaching staff. Additionally, I do think Pope has constructed the roster well in terms of defense before offense. Casey, you told me I'm the baddest MF-er that's ever hosted a College Hoops podcast. Casey, you are, that's the baddest MF in question we've gotten in a while. No disrespect to the other questions. So one, recruiting is not going to be an issue. And it's funny, I remember saying this with Kalen DeBoer when he got hired at Alabama as the football coach. Oh, he can't recruit in the SEC. Well, what is the, who is the only guy that came with Kalen DeBoer from Washington on the plane at his introductory press conference? It was a guy named Courtney Morgan, who was his player personnel guy at Washington. He comes to Alabama and he becomes the player personnel guy at Alabama. Oh, by the way, he then, Kalen DeBoer, a week later, goes out and hires the next best player personnel guy available, Aaron something. I can't remember the last name. It's not Torres. It's not Rogers. But Aaron Hodges, I think, was his name. And Kalen DeBoer is crushing it in recruiting now. And Mark Pope's a smart man. He's at Kentucky. By the way, listen, I've criticized Mitch Barnhart a lot. I'm pretty sure these are conversations that happened in the meeting. How are you going to approach recruiting? Who are you going to go get? And how are you going to get the players that we need to win at the highest level? Mitch Barnhart has a lot on the line here too. So I've never really worried about Pope as a recruiter. And then when he hired Jason Hart, I talked about it. I love the Jason Hart hire. Didn't even talk about Alvin Brooks the third, who I love as well. And then as far as the second part of Casey's question, he said, I do think Mark Pope has constructed the roster well in terms of defense before offense. So I love this part of the question. Let me explain why. I know this sounds crazy, but in this era of college basketball and basketball, high school basketball, NBA basketball, whatever, you can find a 6'7 dude that shoots 36% from three. Now, you can't find somebody like Kobe Brea that shoots 49%, but you can find somebody who shoots 36, 37%. Those guys are out there. What you can't find is a 7-footer who is going to completely control the paint and alter shots at the rim the way that Amari Williams is. You can't find a defensive guard probably anywhere as good as Lamont Butler, but you know how good you have to be defensively to win conference player of the year as a defensive player of the year as a point guard? You know how good you have to be to do that as a guard? Because when we think defense, we think the big guys down low. We think the big wings on the perimeter. We don't think about a 6'3 guard. So I credit Mark Pope because he said, I can find shooting. I can find scoring. We'll figure that out. What I can't find is a paint rim protector and a lockdown guy on the perimeter. And those were two of basically his first few commitments. And he saw how important that was. Two great questions from Casey. Wildcat Will asks about Jackson Robinson. Jackson Robinson was the leading scorer for Mark Pope at BYU this year. By the way, if you're just joining the show, This will be, you know, we're taking questions now. Drop your questions in. And it's obviously be available on podcast and obviously for replay here momentarily. By the way, if you're not subscribed, we're closing in on 40,000 subscribers, so please make sure to do so. And to the question about Jackson Robinson, listen, this is the part that I think we need to really like take a deep breath on, because somebody just asked me about you know, players that are still in the NBA draft, a Lamont Butler, a John L. Davis. I bring it up because I think that's the best example yet. Jackson Robinson, maybe I'm missing something, and maybe the NIL money at Kentucky gets too good, but I think it feels to me like he is going to at least sort of go through the NBA draft process, okay? You know, because listen, Mark Pope left a month ago at this point, basically. He left, what, 3 weeks ago? 3.5 weeks ago was Mark Pope's introductory press conference. Jackson Robinson could have hit the portal at any point, could have transferred, didn't officially hit the portal until this week. So in my opinion, it feels like he wants to seriously consider the NBA draft process. But what's also worth noting, just finished his senior year. I haven't seen him on any draft boards. Now, I will readily admit that I have not looked super, super closely. But I just bring it up because I don't think he's like a first round pick. And if he's not a first round pick, the money to come back is going to be better at Kentucky. So I would say maybe I'm wrong, because Cody Pfluger is putting out boom gifts left and right. I don't think it's on the horizon. And I think he's going to go through this draft process as best as he can. See what else. Anything else? Have you heard anything about Joe Johnson joining John Calipari's staff? There are rumors about it here in Arkansas. I have heard that Joe Johnson is going to be part of that staff. So we know Chin Coleman and Chuck Martin got officially announced today. I feel like there was somebody else, maybe. I know Ronnie Brewer is staying on unless something has changed. Kenny Payne is obviously going to be an assistant. So Kenny Payne, Chin Coleman, and who was the last guy? Chuck Martin. My guess, I think Ronnie Brewer is going to stay on in a non-traditional, non-recruiting role, at least for now. And I've heard Joe Johnson is going to be there in some sort of player development role. I think what's interesting, remember, Joe Johnson was at the introductory press conference. He has no tie to Cal. He didn't play for Cal. He didn't play for Cal in the NBA when Cal was an NBA head coach. So the fact that he was at that introductory press conference leads me to believe that he will probably be on that staff. And talk about a boon for John Calipari. I know when Eric Musselman was at Arkansas, he used to sell the NBA pipeline. Well, think about that group that you were going to have in that building on any given day. Kenny Payne played in the NBA, was coaching in the NBA as recently as 3 years ago with the New York Knicks. Ronnie Brewer played in the NBA forever. Arkansas kid, gets what the NBA is about. And then, of course, Joe Johnson, if he were to get a coaching role, one, I think he'd be great. But two, you talk about the ultimate guy that got the most out of his career. Dude could still get buckets today. So, yes, I have heard that Joe Johnson will be on the Arkansas staff. A lot of great questions today. The Cal isn't Cal. Oh, this is great. Sam, thank you. This is great. Kentucky fans, I respect Kentucky fans. We still have a lot in the chat. Sam says, the Cal isn't Cal without UK narrative is dumb. BBN acts like the man didn't go to Final Fours and a natty before going there. It's delusional at best. Laughing emoji, shoulder shrug emoji. So I respect both fan bases. I cover everything. I don't have any personal beef with any fan base except maybe Purdue. That's another question. They mostly just threatened me on many occasions. But I only bring it up because it has been weird, the Kentucky fan base saying out of their mouth on one side, we don't care about Calipari, while on the other side basically saying like, well, you know, it's not going to work and he's overrated, he's this and he's that. And I think this was an interesting one because when Jaden Quaintance did not go follow Calipari to Arkansas, I saw a lot of this. I even quoted one of these tweets of like, well, I mean, this proves that Lexington isn't Fayetteville, and this proves that Arkansas isn't Kentucky. And it's like, I obviously think Kentucky's going to be in great shape with Mark Pope. I'm not worried about them. But I think it actually says a lot about Cal. I mean, you know, if let's say John Shire left Duke today for Wake Forest, I don't think three McDonald's All-American caliber players are following John Shire to Wake Forest. Like, I don't. I think Duke is the bigger brand there, bigger than John Shire. Kentucky is a bigger brand than John Calipari, but it is clear that John Calipari, whether you like him or not, whether he disappointed you if you're a Kentucky fan or not, those players believe in him and what he's about. And so, yes, a great question by Sam. Great comment by Sam. The Cal isn't Cal without UK narrative is dumb. I totally agree 100%. Cal's a huge brand. There's no doubt about it. So is Kentucky. I've said it a million times. I think both are going to be fine. See if we get one or two more. For the producer from Casey, the staff engaging on social media has been made UK fans feel rejuvenated. Additionally, I don't understand why today someone like John Rothstein didn't have us in the top 25. Well, Casey, guess what? You're in luck. I actually spent most of Wednesday afternoon updating my way too early top 25. And if we don't have any crazy news, if Jackson Robinson doesn't commit, if DJ Wagner doesn't commit tomorrow, I am going to put out my too early top 25. Because the number one question that I get from Kentucky fans is, are we in your top 25? How high are we? And then I get from Arkansas fans, are we in your top 25? How high are we? So I solely bring it up to say, this will lead the show on Thursday. I saw John's top 25. Well, he does a top 50, I think, top 40, whatever. I respect the hell out of John. So I'm not here to criticize him. But I think he had Kentucky at like 39 or something. If you have Kentucky at 39, what you're basically saying is you're not going to start them in the top 25, which I find absurd, and that's okay. Everyone can disagree. I've had a lot of wrong opinions that John has been right on. I'm guessing I've probably had some opinions that I've been right on that he's been wrong on, whatever. But Kentucky is maybe going to add one to two more key pieces. So you're telling me they're not going to start in the top 25 because I already have them in the top 25 as is. I already have them in the top 15 as is. Spoiler alert. I didn't really get that to the first part. And I think this is important. Casey says the staff engaging on social media has made UK fans feel rejuvenated. Now I will say part of the reason the previous staff didn't engage was you guys kind of bullied John Calipari a little bit. Okay. But what I will say, what has been awesome to watch, because I just criticized Kentucky fans with how they're talking about Calipari at Arkansas. Let me credit Kentucky fans. There is nothing better than seeing all of Big Blue Nation march, you know, row in the same direction, right? Like the PJ Fleck row the boat. Everybody's rowing in the same direction at Kentucky. In the last couple years, it's been crazy because something good would happen and, you know, whatever. Boogie Fland would commit to Kentucky. Carter Knox would commit to Kentucky. You'd beat Tennessee at Tennessee. And you know what would happen every time I tweeted something positive? It'd be half a Big Blue Nation saying, I believe in Cal and this is great and da-da-da-da. And half would say, nope, it's going to be a disaster. It stinks. It's all going to fall apart at some point. And by the way, a lot of those people were right. It's just been so cool to see everybody rowing in the same direction from Big Blue Nation. So great questions and comments from Casey. And yes, I will have a top 25 out on Thursday morning. And barring something shocking, we will be talking about it on Friday's show. Thursday night show. We'll record on Thursday night. Rowing without oars. Okay, here you go. For producer Stephen Treadway. By the way, I'm going to get a little more water. Talking a lot here. Forgive me. For producer, with word coming from Jones that we are done adding for a bit, what is our ceiling with this team tournament-wise? So I assume that's Matt Jones has said that we're done adding for a little while. Like I said, I think outside of a Jackson Robinson, I think you're probably done. You have a top seven with Kirk Creason now and the guy that, the other guy that committed today, Kobe Brea. So what is the ceiling? I mean, listen, I think it's a Final Four. I'm not saying you'll be one of the three or four favorites to make the Final Four next year with this current roster. But one, I think you're going to monitor. I think you're going to see who's available. And, you know, does a Coleman Hawkins become available? Does Jackson Robinson return to college? Does Kadari Richmond end up at I don't think you'd even recruit Kadari Richmond. I could be wrong there. But to answer your question, I think the ceiling's high because you have guys who have done it. And I think that matters, right? What did I say a minute ago when it came to Kentucky? Go back to the NCAA tournament game this year. Who were your two best players? Antonio Reeves, fifth-year senior. Trey Mitchell, fifth-year senior. He might have been a sixth-year senior, but whatever. Your two oldest guys. Well, think about this roster you have. Lamont Butler played in a Final Four, played in two Sweet 16s, played in a Sweet 16 this year. By the way, go back and watch the San Diego State UAB game in round one. They don't win it if Lamont Butler doesn't take over. Kobe Brea played in an NCAA tournament, played in a round of 32 this year. Kerr Creasa has played in multiple NCAA tournaments, played in a Sweet 16 a few years ago. So you have all these guys that have that experience. So I think you get to a Final Four. Now, I don't think you're a team like a UConn this year that's going to overwhelm everybody with size and physicality and athleticism. But, I mean, I also don't think there's that many teams that you're going to be at a size physicality disadvantage. I think the big thing for Kentucky, I do think you probably need a little bit more shooting in that system. Mark Pope plays a lot of guys. Get your 8th, 9th, 10th guy. Get guys that are going to come in, the Richie Saunders types, like the BYU kid that is going to go back to BYU, that are going to be comfortable playing 8-9 minutes, taking two or three threes, and hopefully getting a few buckets. But I haven't seen Matt say that. I assume you're talking about Matt Jones. But yeah, that's my takeaway as well. People were like, what's next? It's like, I don't think there's that much left, to be perfectly honest. You have 7 veteran players that are all coming to play next year, including like 5 or 6 fifth-year seniors. Then you have Colin Chandler, who I think is an 8th, 9th guy as he gets his legs back after his mission trip. And you have a freshman in Travis Perry as well. See if we get one or two more. Whew, another live show. How about this? Who is left for Cal to go after? Who is on Cal's radar? I think DJ Wagner. I really do. I could be wrong. I don't know if they're going after him. Listen, I can't imagine a world where Kenny Payne, who played with DJ Wagner's grandfather at Louisville, and where John Calipari, with all his ties to the Wagner family, hired Milt Wagner, DJ's grandfather, at Memphis. Obviously, DeJuan Wagner played for him at Memphis. I don't see the scenario where he isn't an Arkansas Razorback. I just don't. I think the family's comfortable with Kenny Payne and Coach Cal. I think there's a fit there. I still think DJ Wagner ends up as an Arkansas Razorback. Other than that, I do think you need some depth in the front court. It's great you have 2 7-footers, but other than that, you got a couple probably wingish type guys. And by the way, I would say this. There's more guys available than you think still in the portal. Now, they're not all impact guys, but if you're Arkansas, you don't need a million impact guys. You know, there's enough non-impact guys where it's like, you know, get a three-point shooter. Get a whatever. I keep going back to this example, so forgive me. But UConn 2 off seasons ago, Joey Calcaterra, who ended up being a key like 8th, 9th guy off the bench, not the 8th guy off the bench, but the 8th, 9th guy in the rotation, 4th, 5th guy off the bench. They didn't get a commitment from him until July of a few seasons ago. And so there end up being more guys than you think, you know. Just as an example, this isn't going to happen. But like a Trevin Brazil hit the portal today. Somebody's probably going to get that guy on like June 11th or May 19th or something like that. So like the idea that there aren't still valuable pieces available, I just don't buy it. I do think Arkansas probably still needs about three. They need probably 5 guys total, but you really need about 3 guys that you can feel pretty comfortable playing. You got 6 right now. I definitely think you need another big, definitely think you need another ball handler and at least one more 3-point shooter. Now, in a perfect world, everybody could do all that. DJ could, point guard if it's DJ Wagner, maybe the 3-point percentage increases. Maybe the 4-man can step out and hit threes. But I still think there's some players available. Wow. Right on cue. Uncle Frank, Trevin Brazil hit the portal. What's his status? If he returns and rides with Musk to SC, does it make it easier for DJ Wagner, who just visited Arkansas, signed Jonnell Davis? A lot going on there, Uncle Frank. Yeah. So Trevin Brazil, as I said, hit the portal. I know Calipari in Kentucky recruited him when he went into the portal a few years ago. I don't see, and when he was at Kentucky, obviously this was Calipari was at Kentucky. I don't see him being a fit at with this Arkansas team because he's too much like Jonas Adu and he's too much like Big Z. And so even if Cal wants him, from Cal's from Brazil's perspective, am I going to come back and be the third big guy that has the same size and the same skill set? I don't see that. SC kind of makes a little bit of sense. I just don't know the relationship with Coach Muss. He obviously played for Coach Muss for 2 years, so I'll be curious there. I don't have a great feel for what Trevin Brazil will do. I think the portal entry is probably more to protect himself than anything else, but he is still in there. DJ Wagner, we've talked about quite a bit. So I still think he's the guy that makes sense. We got a lot of questions, man. You guys are rocking tonight on a Wednesday night. Let's see what other questions we got. By the way, my t-shirt guy can't have me until 7 Pacific. So that's about 3 hours from now. So I got nothing but time for your questions. So it's rock and roll. What else do we got? Let's see what else we got. Just saw another good one. Let's see here. TikTok news tomorrow. Yes, Trevin Brazil has hit the portal. Is Williams going back in the portal? Let's see here. What else we got? A lot of good. I just saw something. I, you know what? I think that's it. I think we'll get out of here on this note. I think we'll get out of here. By the way, drop some thoughts. On here if you have any other questions. But if you're not subscribed to the show, please make sure to do so. We are about to hit 40K subscribers on YouTube. So if you're not subscribed to the show, please make sure to do so. Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Music, wherever you listen to podcasts, make sure to subscribe. Also, make sure to rate and review the show. Go ahead, give us a quick 5 stars. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, all that good stuff. Make sure you're following on social media at @Aaron_Torres on Twitter, at @AaronTorresPod on Instagram. AaronTorresPodcastQuestions@gmail.com. AaronTorresPodcastQuestions@gmail.com. By the way, Austin asks, who's my pick in Nuggets versus T-Wolves? We don't talk NBA on this show. I'll say this. I talk crap a lot about the NBA. Let me say this. I am fascinated by that series. I love Anthony Edwards. I love the way that the Denver Nuggets are built. They're so good. I think the T-Wolves give them a little bit of problems. I really do. There's not many teams that have the size across the board of what Denver has with Jokic and Michael Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon. Denver is one of them. So maybe we do some NBA. I don't know what we're going to be talking about now that everything's starting to slow down. But we will be back on Thursday night. If you're not subscribed, make sure to do so. If you're not subscribed on YouTube, make sure that you are following on YouTube. Put on those notifications. And I'll tell you what, I do think we're going to go ahead and get out of here. I'll be back Thursday night. We are going to do a Thursday night, Friday show. So make sure that you are subscribed. We'll probably talk about an updated top 25, all that good stuff. Think that's all for tonight's show. We'll be back on Thursday. Appreciate your support. See you soon. Shout out to Torrent Craig. Shout out to Rachel, who hates my voice. Shout out to JJ Redick, you F-head. Unblock me, bro. I will be back Thursday night. Aaron Torres, Sports.